You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Can you give a hand to the music team first for that special number? And of course, before anything else, before we get to the word today, I want to greet everyone a Merry Christmas, okay? As today is our Christmas service. And you know, before anything else as well, can you just greet one another a Merry Christmas once again? I know nag-greet na ta kanina, but may we not get tired greeting each other a Merry Christmas this season, because truly there is a great reason for us to celebrate Christmas every year, okay? Regardless of your 2019, how your year has been this year, perhaps there were times nga rocky ang 2019 nimo, or times nga, you know, medyo troubling ang 2019 nimo this past year, but still we have a reason to celebrate Christmas every year, okay? Anyone here, by the way, you just came home to Dumaguete for a reunion, to be with your family? Anyone? Not niulit mo? Yon, we have one, we have a few. Thank you so much for coming. Welcome to Dumaguete, and we hope that you'll have a great Christmas season with your family as well. For our word today, okay, as we wrap up our Hope Has Come series, and as today is our Christmas series, we have something, basically a brief, simple, but rich message that would really greatly extol, elevate who Christ is. Because he is the main reason why we celebrate Christmas. And I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And let me just read it here. It says here, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory." This one verse right here, church, packs a lot of important values, important points that's really helpful for us as we look forward in anticipation for the coming Christmas season. And we're going to look at those lines closely in a while. But first, I want to focus on two words, mystery and confess. Specifically in the first word, mystery. When you think of the word mystery, perhaps for some of you or for many of us, we think of something like, you know, medyo Sherlock Holmes ba? Okay, kasi rin mahilig og detective movies or TV shows, or you love mystery shows. Diba? You think of Sherlock, or for those of you who are younger, Blue's Clues siguro inyo ha? Pag mystery. Okay, I don't know what kind of mysteries. When you think of something that's mysterious, you think of words like magical, elusive, confusing, something that you need to unravel or something like that. But in the Bible, in the biblical sense, the word mystery there roughly means something that was hidden but now was made visible and manifested. Something was hidden before, but now it has been revealed na. And as we go through these verses, we would learn all the more what this mystery is actually all about. Okay, but before that, okay, talking about that same verse still, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, is not just any verse in the Bible. If you read your Bible, you would know that there are different genres in the Bible. There are stories, there are poems, there are songs, letters. Of course, the gospel accounts are there as well. So every time you would read your Bible, you need to take thought of what the literary context is about, what the genre is about, kanang book na ginaread nato sa Bible. Well, in this verse, in Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, if you go for your Bible, especially if you're reading from the ESV translation, you would see that it's not just written in sentences lang, okay? Like you would read simple paragraph. But it's written something like this. Para siyang poem. It's structured like a poetry. Because scholars say that this verse is pretty much a hymn, a creed, or both. And that's important to understanding this verse. A hymn, a creed, or both. Now, what is a creed nga ba? Nga, we have to take note of this particular verse. A creed is basically a summary of the Christian doctrine. We know what hymns are. Diba? Hymns are basically songs naman, so easy to understand. But creeds, they're like summaries of Christian doctrines. Because Christian doctrine is spread out throughout the Bible. You might be reading topic found in different verses like salvation, like the love of God, like about Jesus. There are several verses about it throughout the Bible, but creeds pretty much summarizes what they are all about. And this right here, this verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, is a creed, a hymn, or both of that as well. Meaning, there is a lot that's contained in this six lines lang. Six lines lang tong ginadictate niya sa hymn or sa creed, but there's a lot of meaning to it. And since it is also a hymn, this is also helpful for us because we talk about hymns or songs. Songs are powerful. How many of you here today, if you have a bad day, you feel tired, you feel stressed, kasi rin namoy certain hugot na song. Diba? Namoy song kinapaminaw sa phone ninyo, or kumatumog video, okay, namoy certain song, memorize na niyo mong digits. Diba? I-plug in na mo, bahalag, asa na ka video kahan, you know, muni ang song na ako, this is my song, I can sing it, eyes closed, birito nimo, wala. Songs are powerful. Okay? They resonate with us. In different seasons, whether we feel down or tired, or whether we're celebrating, we're happy, everything's okay. In different seasons, in different scenarios in life nato, songs resonate in those moments. Now, same thing with this verse, because it is also a hymn, this will greatly resonate with us as well. And since it is a hymn, this means that the reason why gihim siya is that the people who would read this verse would all the more will be able to internalize or memorize it. Kasi tayo mahilig mag-memorize ang Bible verses. Anyone? Or ba si Lubig pa mo kids church? Mag-memorize ang Bible verses. Diba sometimes when we try to memorize certain things, may it be a Bible verse, or when you study, kasi tayo dagang memorize katong when you were a student. Diba? Enumeration or identification, try to memorize something. Diba sometimes when you try to remember something, it's difficult to remember. Especially if daghan siya or if taas siya. But why is it that sometimes... why is it that songs naman, no matter how long the lyrics, somehow maka-remember ta nila. Some of you, kaya niyo remember rap, di ba? Tas tagas maka ng mga rap na songs, di ba? Kaya pa niyo remember. Some of you, you have favorite songs that goes back 10 years, 20 years pa old na songs, ma-remember gyapon ninyo. Why is it that songs, no matter how long, how difficult the words may be, even if dili mabot ang tono, okay lang, okay? But we can memorize those songs. Again, they resonate with us. And that's why this verse is something that's meant for us to take heart, to remember, for us not just to read in passing, but as much as possible, ma-remember, ma-memorize po nato. Because it's written as well in a hymn form. And to help us that, we've asked as well one of our singers, one of our music team members, to put a melody, okay? Para man mas ma-remember nato yung verse as well. Okay, pagbigyan nato kasi Christmas service bitaw nato karon. And I promise you, after this service, all the more mas ma-remember ninyo ninga verse, okay? Can I ask Rika to please come up on stage? Let's give her a hand. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, okay? In hymn form.
Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. In the flesh he was manifested, vindicated by the Spirit. Sing, my angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Sing, my angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
Oh, diba? Thank you for that, Eureka. Church, can we give her a round of applause? Diba, mas ma-remember na nato ang song all the more? For some of you, baka ma-SS pa mo after this pa. You keep on singing that hymn. So every time you read those things in your Bible, like the book of Psalms, diba? If you read through the book of Psalms, there's a lot of those hymns. Those are actually meant to be sung as well. Perhaps we're not just accustomed to the way it is structured. But as you sing those verses, all the more, mas ma-internalize nimo, mas ma-gets nimo ang meaning niya. Now, since we've gone through its kind of verse, it's a hymn and a creed, we're going to look at the content naman of those words because they're not just pretty, beautiful lyrics that's good to listen to. There's an important meaning to all of those words, those lines. So there's two stanzas to this verse, verse 16. The first three lines talks about the description of Christ's work. What Jesus did when He came into this world. For example, says there, He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, and seen by angels. It says there, He was manifested in the flesh. This talks about the incarnation. If you remember, in the first week of this series, we talked about His coming into this world. Jesus coming into this world. That's incarnation. Vindicated by the Spirit, meaning He resurrected, proving that He is the Son of God. That's the resurrection right there, and seen by angels. He left earth. He went back to heaven, and you know, he'll be back in the end of the age. That's the ascension. But it didn't stop there. In the last three verses, this talks about basically the response to Christ's work. Okay, proclaiming among the nations talks about preaching. Okay, preaching the good news of what Christ did. Believe on the world talks about faith, and take it up in glory talks about glory in Christ. Now we're going to look at those lines closely. Okay, starting with the first one, manifested in the flesh. As I said earlier, when we started this series, we talked about incarnation. Kasi naka-start mo sa first installment sa series na to. Diba? We talked about incarnation. No, grabe, no? God Himself came into this world. The word incarnation comes from the word incarnate or carne, which means to be in the flesh. When someone is there physically, okay, not just a video call or sa text, or when someone says, I will be there in spirit to support you. No, when they're actually there present, they're there in the flesh, that's what we refer as incarnation. And this right there is important because Christmas is Mary, because the backdrop is the incarnation of Christ. The reason why we celebrate Christmas, we put so much emphasis, so much effort. Ano man daking parties, daking decoration, daking celebrations, na songs. Ano, ang Pinoy pagani, September pa lang, ready to celebrate as Christmas. Why we put so much effort into Christmas is because of this incarnation. Christ came into this world. You might have heard of that, that thought, that verse, but it doesn't take away the importance of the weight of that statement that God did not leave us alone. He did not abandon us to our sin, but He came into this world to solve the problem of sin. And that's why we can celebrate Christmas, no matter how your 2019 has happened, church. For some of us here today, 2019 was not probably the best year, if you're going to compare years. Perhaps there were months or days of loss, frustration, challenges. But nonetheless, as we celebrate this coming Christmas season, may we be reminded at the end of the day, we celebrate this truth. God came into this world as Jesus. The doctrine of incarnation, Christ was God Himself manifested in the flesh. It literally means the enfleshment. Okay, God coming down here. This is what sets apart Christianity from all other belief systems. Unlike polytheistic beliefs, they believe in different gods or different deities. We only believe in one God, one creator of heaven and earth who is sovereign, absolute, and unrivaled in power. We only believe in one God. But unlike other monotheistic beliefs as well, we believe that God was manifested in the flesh as a human person. God, by the mystery of the incarnation, was able to do the most ungodlike, not ungodly, most ungodlike things imaginable. Because when you think about someone who is God, that someone is beyond our reach. We couldn't relate to that person. If someone is God, He doesn't experience what we experience, what it means to be a human being. He doesn't suffer, He doesn't hurt, He doesn't sleep, He doesn't hunger, He isn't born, He doesn't grow up, He can't die, He doesn't learn, or He can't be seen. He transcends all of those things, and yet, the very God of the universe that we believe in, that same God, did pretty much that, came into this world the same way you and I came into this world. He was born into this world and experienced what it means to be human. He suffered. He went through pain. He had relationships, friendships, family. He experienced hunger. He experienced sleep. He learned. He died. He was tempted, but the difference is that He did not sin. That same God became human, okay, or was in the flesh. This is the great mystery and majesty of our faith, the incarnation. God took on human flesh. It's amazing that God Himself would busy Himself to do so. Parang, pwede naman, biyayin ta ni God sa sins nato, sa problems nato, sa issues nato. God could have abandoned us the moment Adam and Eve sinned and said, I have no backup plan for you. Eh, bahala na mo diha. Or I have no redemption plan for you. And yet, God did not abandon or leave us. Though who was rich for our sake, He became poor. That very same God who had, you know, was in the heavens, was in the perfect place, chose to come into this world that's full of filth, full of our sin, full of our problems and issues. He chose to come here for our benefit. Nakatanim mo katong lugar nga, you know, the moment you're there, you just wanna get out right away. Parang di mo gayan mo stay. Parang you don't wanna stay there in that place. It may be, you know, maybe you went to a hotel, abinim mo chadang hotel, wait, pangit na yung room or pangit na yung hotel. You wanna escape or something like that. Or you went to a certain place. It somehow, it just breaks your heart to see the poverty or the situation of that place. You just wanna get out. The same thing, the world was filled with sin and problems. Yet God Himself chose to come here for us, for our benefit, to live the perfect life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. There was a purpose to His coming, church. That leads to the second line, vindicated by the Spirit. He was manifested in the flesh and He was vindicated by the Spirit. Vindicated pretty much means to justify or to declare that someone was right all along. He was proven right. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, imagine you were the apostles. You've been following this guy, doing ministry. This guy who claimed to be the Messiah. This guy who claimed to be the prophesied chosen one, okay? Who would solve the problem of sin. The Son of God. Who is God Himself. But then now, He's crucified. And He died on the cross. So if you were one of the apostles, you might think, how can He claim that He's the Son of God when He is there, crucified, helpless, nailed to a cross? Feeding of the 5,000, magic na dito. It could have stopped right there, but it didn't stop right there. He resurrected from the grave. This right here is a reference to the resurrection. 3 days later, Christ resurrected from the grave. There was an empty tomb. My disciples came back to the tomb to check on it. It was empty. Christ resurrected, proving that He is the Son of God. That all that He claimed, who He was true. He was vindicated by the Spirit. Romans 1 verse 4 says, Christ Jesus was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead. Vindicated by the Spirit. As He hung on the cross, it seemed as if none of it were true. But when the tomb was empty, it proved that He was right. It seemed at first na parang wala na. It was false pala. But then He resurrected, proving that He is the Son of God. That proving that His coming on earth, but that prophesied coming, that God Himself came, the hope indeed had come. Not just that, the next line, seen by angels. This talks about His ascension. It says here that He was taken up in glory. Christ was seen by angels. Or angels ministered to Him during His temptation. They witnessed His ministry. They greeted Him in glory, sat at the empty tomb, and were present at His ascension. Acts 1 verse 10 says, and while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. This talks about the divine nature of who Jesus is. And He's not just a wise man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just someone born in a Jewish lineage. He is God. And after He was born, He died on the cross, He resurrected, He left. He went back to the Father. This talks about His ascension. In other words, the first three lines is a summary of Christ's work on earth, His incarnation, resurrection, and ascension. In other words, if there's one thing that you can learn from Christmas, or one thing you should take note about Christmas from this verse palang daan, is that you cannot divorce Christmas from Christ's incarnation, resurrection, and ascension. Whenever we celebrate Christmas, church, have this in thought. You're not just having a party kasi nag-reunion mo. Those are good things. That there's a reunion, there's a reason why your loved ones are there, you're praying to God, all those things. Those are good things. But we may be reminded that when we celebrate Christmas, we are remembering that the reason why we celebrate is because Jesus came into the picture. He was born specifically so that He would live for us and die for us. And when He died for us, He didn't stay dead. He resurrected as well, proving indeed that He is the Son of God. And He ascended back into heaven. Now those last three lines in that same verse talks about naman the response to that. After their incarnation, resurrection, and ascension, how they respond to all of these amazing things that Jesus has done for us. Firstly, proclaimed among the nations. Christ is to be proclaimed. You see, Christmas, if rightly understood, leads to missions. When you think about Christmas, it's usually about coming home, diba? Coming home, meeting with the loved ones, and again, those are good things. But Christmas, the message of Christmas, is not just to be kept to ourselves. Parang ato-ato lang ni, kasi Christmas season lang. But no, rather, Christmas has to be spread, ang message niya. Because at the end of the day, the core reason why we can celebrate Christmas is the gospel. It's incarnation, resurrection, and ascension. We usually think of Christmas as the time of the year when everyone comes home. Okay, and that's great. Okay, and so do many of us. But also a time as well to look out, going out and sending. Meaning, when you think about Christmas, don't just think about yourselves, your own families, but think about the other nations as well. Think about other people as well. Look outward as well. Sometimes pag Christmas, it's our parties, our own happiness. But maybe look outward as well and think, Lord, how can I be a blessing to others? Which is why, again, thank you so much for your generosity, for taking part to bless the community, for choosing to look outward to be a blessing to many people, but not just in our own society, our own nation, but again, even in the other nations as well. Do you realize that not all nations celebrate Christmas? Even in the nations that has Christmas decorations, they don't really celebrate Christmas. I've been to a few nations na not like Christmas decors, that's like Christmas events or concerts or something like that. But they don't really celebrate Christmas. They don't really understand Christmas. For them, it's a season nga, ano, na dagang mapalit, gagamit. It's like Valentine's or something lang. They don't know the true value and meaning of Christmas. They don't know the good news that's packed inside Christmas. And we need to take note of that. There are other people out there, the nations of the world, who need to hear the good news that you've received. Who need to hear what Christ has done for us. He needs to be proclaimed in the nations. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we will all leave right now or next year, mawala na tandaan sa church. It's not that. What I'm saying is that may we have the heart to become a blessing to the other nations of the world as well. May we preach the gospel and talk about Christmas to other people from other nations as well. Nextly, believed on in the world. The result of this preaching, the result of proclaiming who Jesus is, whether in other nations or people from other nations who are in Dumaguete City, is that he will be believed on in the world. You see, the story of Christmas, church, sometimes we limit it to this good story, a bedtime story, a children's story, something madunggan itong stories about Christmas events. But the story of Christmas is not just a good story. The story of Christmas is a real story. The coming of Christ, it's not a myth. It's not just some inspiring, moral, uplifting tale or some sentimental holiday program or story. No, it is true. It is real that the God of this universe came to this world, was born as a baby in the manger, lived for us, died for us, so that we may be forgiven of our sins and be assured of salvation and be reconciled to God and receive blessings. That story is very much true. Kaya good news siya. Not just any good story. Good news. And as we proclaim that, he will be believed on in the world. And last but not least, says here, he'll be taken up in glory. You see, as we proclaim who Christ is, what he's done for us, the story of Christmas, as we proclaim it to people, and as people believe in him, he will be all the more glorified. At the end of the day, we're doing this to honor God or to glorify God. This language is meant to have an echo of the ascension. It's not just in the physical sense of being taken up into heaven, but in the sense of glorifying who Jesus is. As Christ is proclaimed among the nations and believed on in the world, he is further glorified. He is further glorified. As I mentioned earlier, this first part of this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. We talked about mystery, but not so much about that word confess. You see, talking about confessing, when we hear the word confessing, we might think about confessing our sins. Talking about it to someone, and to some degree, that is true. We ought to confess our sins and ask forgiveness from people. But another meaning of confess is to declare something. When you're confessing something or declaring something, you're saying something that's important to you that you would live by it. Parang you're saying something, man, I'm gonna live by this. This will sustain me. And we are all confessional people. We're all, whether we are verbally saying it or thinking it in our heads, we are all confessing something. We all anchor ourselves to things that shape and define us. The important question is, can it sustain everything in life? If I were to ask you, church, what is your confession? What is that one thing that you say that encourages you, sustains you, gives meaning into your life? Is it something that can sustain everything in life sa imuha ba? Because oftentimes, what we claim or what gives us meaning or identity or purpose are sometimes external factors. It could be our lineage, inani ko kasi Villegas ko. Or it could be our resources, inani ko kasi I have this much money in the bank. Or I am like this kind of person because I don't have that much in the bank. It could be our health, our skills, our abilities, our achievements. What is the foundation of your life that you keep on confessing or declaring? Because I hope and I pray that we will confess or declare on something that will sustain our life. And we don't have to look further than this right here. Great indeed, we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This talks about what Christ did in the world for us and how we should respond because we reap the benefits. All of this is for us. It will really have a great difference when the story of Jesus and what He's done for us, His coming in this world, becomes more than just a typical story for us. You see, oftentimes, ang nakastumble or nakasetback nato when it comes to appreciating this, what Christ has done for us, is familiarity. When we think about Christmas, I see katungan na. Every year, Christmas, Jesus, the nativity scene, the Magi, Herod. Kabulong Christmas naman. Yes, there's nothing new to be added there. There's no Christmas 2.0 version nga story. There's no sequel nga Christmas nga story. But the value, the importance of that remains the same. That Christ came into this world. And that is important because you know what? You know the difference between us and any other person out there? The difference between people in the church or people of God? The difference nato between other people? Even though we experience similar problems, similar issues, similar concerns, the difference between someone who is a son or a daughter of God and someone who is not is that we have hope in us. You may be in a storm of your life right now, but you have hope. And that is Jesus. While all others are scrambling for hope, looking for solutions, looking for a way na makahelp nila, we have all the help right here. We have all the hope that we need right here. Christ Himself has come. He has come. And that right there should motivate, should encourage us to move forward, to live our lives, and to celebrate, not just to celebrate Christmas, but to really to keep living our lives to the full every day.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.